All right, on the podcast today, we have a great show. First of all, I want to tell you, by the way, to sign up for Blaze TV. Go to blazetv.com/Beck. Use the promo code Beck, and you'll get access to not only this show, but News & Why It Matters, Pat Gray Unleashed, Andrew Wilkow, Eric Bolling, Ali Stuckey. The lineup is, and the new show from Chad Prather as well.
Really good, yeah. Too. Really good. It's all at blazetv.com/Beck. Promo code Beck.
Already told him that. 10%. Already told him that.
All right. Okay. Back off. I wasn't listening. Nobody ever listens to you. Okay. On the podcast today, John McAfee in one of the weirdest, weirdest interviews I think we've ever done. He's where did he say he was? Definitely not Belize.
Bahamas.
He's
definitely don't go to Belize.
No, don't
John.
Go to Belize if you're John McAfee. He was in the Bahamas and he's in exile. And he's running a U.S. presidential campaign, and it is a bizarre interview, which strangely has a lot of truth in it as well. We also talk about the governor in Virginia and abortion. We actually went deep on that, and that really with the Pope, with what's happening in America, what's happening around the world, and we brought Bill O'Reilly in on that as well. And you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. All on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I hope I can talk to all Americans, both left and right, both Republicans and Democrats and independents. And I hope I can somehow or another moderate the language so everyone can hear. I have sworn off the word evil in the last few years. I've tried to banish that word and only use it when there's just nothing else that could describe it. Because evil is a pretty heavy word. And we've been bantering back and forth. Oh, what's happening? That's evil. This person is evil. Blah, 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 blah. That's a pretty heavy charge. I don't think there could be a worse label. But I honestly don't know how to describe this other than evil. We have so many people that are misguided or asleep in this country. And they are falling into the clutches of evil because, I don't know, maybe the party is pushing it and they don't want to do anything to upset the party. Maybe they believe in part of it and they don't see the rest of it. I'm not sure why, but I urge you to wake up on what is happening with abortion. This isn't about a woman's right to choose. It's not. Let's just all assume that everybody, and this is the majority of people, that everybody agrees that in the first trimester, if it's rape, incest, or life of the mother, we agree. Now, not everybody agrees, but it is the majority of people. So let's just leave it at that for now. This is where the argument should be. Because there's no reason when you get to birth of a child. We all know that's a child. And we all know that people have been saying, well, I don't know if I would define that as a child. My children, I don't know when I would define. Come on, knock it off. In the first trimester, before it's fully formed and everything else, okay, I can buy into the fact that you don't know. I can buy into the fact that I'm not sure when it starts to be. Now, that's not my opinion, but I can be reasonable enough to understand that is your opinion. But when you have a woman who is in labor, when you have a fully formed human that can live outside of the woman's body, and worse yet, she's in labor and she says, oh, I don't want this baby. That's exactly what she says. I don't want this baby. We know it's a baby. Now, the laws are being changed in several states to say at that point, the woman can kill that child. But the governor of Virginia, I think, took it yesterday even a step further. Listen to this interview with the governor of Virginia now talking about the new law that they're trying to get passed in Virginia about abortion at any time. Here he is on WTOP Radio.
When we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions.
Can we stop?
Want the decision to be made.
Did we stop? Did you hear what he said? First of all, the baby is going to be horribly deformed. You would know that. You would know that in advance. But even then, the child is horribly deformed. Does that mean we don't care for that life? And you'll notice what he said. After the child is born, we can resuscitate if that's the family's wishes. Wait a minute. The cord is cut. That's a separate human being now. That's a separate human being. You have a responsibility to resuscitate that child. But we'll resuscitate it and then we'll have a conversation about what to do. We're now beyond birth.
And what's the conversation about what to do? I mean, yes, you could say maybe one of those options is adoption. Doesn't seem like it, though, in the text of this conversation. He's saying we may or may not resuscitate him basically on what the mother decides she wants to do, which is crazy. That's not what happens with human beings. You know, the mother doesn't get to choose whether to resuscitate their children or not.
Especially when a woman, you're telling me that any human, that is gone through something as traumatic as just childbirth and everything went well. Does anyone think they're thinking straight? Does anybody?
Of course not.
Of course not.
And in theory, like in this example, which is a heavily deformed baby that's struggling, it would be even more emotional. Though it does not seem to be limited to that. He's using that as the most emotionally pleasing example to the audience, that it's a very deformed baby, which is a whole nother bag of worms there.
Could we just stop, Stu? Could you please read the section where it covers absolutely everything? They always do this. They always try to make it look like, it's only in this case. It's not. And I am hearing from people all the time saying, where do I find the information of what is covered? Yeah. Well, in the bill. And here it is.
Quote, this is the reason, because it's got to be health of the mother. That's their out. If it's life of the mother, they can't get anything because there's really no life of the mother thing, especially at 9 months. There's no.
And you're giving birth.
Yeah, you do an emergency C-section in that situation.
Right.
It makes no sense to abort the child at that point. And I think everybody's aware of that. So they went to health of the mother. And health of the mother was written up in Roe, and it was written up vaguely, which is why it's been a problem. However, it was redefined and made more specific by a case after this, which was Doe versus Bolton, another case they went through. And this is how it's defined and used in the law. Quote, all factors, physical, emotional, psychological, familial, and the woman's age relevant to the well-being of the patient. So you need to come up with an excuse that's affecting your health that falls into the category of all factors. Anything that can possibly be a factor that could possibly talk about your health. And this is what happened in the last clip we played the other day, which was them talking about one of the factors being the pain of childbirth. Mm-hmm. If either is there's emotional stress while you're giving birth, that's enough to say, you know what, abort this thing.
If you are somebody who says that's a handicapped child, I can't deal with it, they'll kill it. Familial. I only have one job and I don't have a husband. Kill it.
Mm-hmm. The age. I'm in a risk category, right? Yeah. I'm a little older or a little younger than I want to be.
Or I'm too young to raise a child. Kill it. I'm too old to raise a child. Kill it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the familial structure. I don't have anybody in the family to help me. Kill it. I'm going to be way too stressed out for this. I'm just not mentally there to be able to do it. Kill it.
Right. And so the realistic thing is what is happening here is they're trying to make it possible for a woman to do it at any point without having to say it's abortion on demand. They could still say it's health, but it's all you have to do is come up with any reason that factors into any level of your health. So all factors is legitimately the quote. All factors. You could, it doesn't have to be on that list. All factors. Come up with something. You know what? I feel like my nail might break. I mean, really, it's to the point of any excuse that you feel as a woman is going to affect your health in any way is enough to kill a baby at 5 seconds before birth.
By the way, the Virginia governor said, and, you know, more than just one doctor. No, actually, the law says that it doesn't even have to be a doctor. It could be a nurse practitioner.
I will say, I think that that's the New York state law, I believe. Has that? I don't know if the Virginia one has it.
The Virginia one
may have, proposed, a doctor.
Okay.
So, but just to be, again, these are all laws that are passing at the same time that are all very similar. There are some nuances between them, but the bottom line is they are trying to push this as far as possible and, you know, maybe beyond it. I think we would all say, they bring up choice all the time. And we would all say, in theory, left, right, everybody would say after birth, that's not choice, right? Like, we all realize this is a baby and it would be murder. It's every law in America, at least at this point, would cover that. And the idea is, like, let's say we're on talk radio, we're talking about abortion, we don't like it. And let's just say the heavens opened up and God lowered himself down and said, Glenn!
Yes, God.
Glenn, I really appreciate all of this work you're doing fighting abortion and everything, but I have to tell you, you've been misled. I think it's awesome.
Why do you sound like a cartoon?
I don't know, and I'm not echoing even though my voice is billowing.
Billowing, billowing, billowing.
So if that happened, right, and God came down and said, you know what, I appreciate your efforts here. Abortion, I understand why you thought it was a big problem, but honestly, until it's born, I don't really care. If he said that, and it was real, we would, every conservative on earth that believes in these things would probably be like, oh, okay, well, yeah, whatever, woman, go ahead. You can do whatever you want.
However,
on the other side, if Chris Cuomo or whatever deity is on the left came down from the heavens and said, Gary, guess what? Abortion's really bad. And it is actually killing a life. And they were convinced by it. In theory, they would say, okay, well, I guess it is a life, so we should probably not allow that. It's about when the baby is a baby. It's not about choice. Mm-hmm. The choice thing is a completely ridiculous argument. We have no problem as conservatives allowing women legally to remove clumps of cells, plastic surgery, removing tumors. None of these things matter to us because we don't care. Women can make whatever choice they want for their own bodies. This isn't your own body. There is another body. And that body is the one that doesn't have a voice and needs to be protected by law. That's what the right to life is about.
And this time, now we're entering, it's out of the body.
Out of the body.
I just want to take you back to 1933. Even the Germans that voted for Adolf Hitler, they voted for Hitler. They even stood up at this point and said, I don't care how deformed.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta stop. Now, he said he would, he didn't. And look where they ended up. I'm telling you, if we don't stand against this profound evil, we are going to make the Nazis look like rookies. Please, please, I'm begging you. We're now talking about babies. We're not talking about the difference. I believe it's life. You don't believe it's life at conception. You don't believe it's life at the first trimester. Okay, all right. That's not what we're talking about here. That's not what we're discussing.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
May I take you someplace kind of fun and interesting? There is, because we're, you know, who's pushing this kind of stuff? The Uber left.
Yes.
And who's the hero of the Uber left right now? Of course, it's AOC.
Ugh. Right.
Okay. AOC. Mm-hmm. And we have to call her AOC now. So Ocasio-Cortez is the left's
North Star, right?
Yeah, and the Sarah Palin on stupid steroids,
mm-hmm,
okay? Mm-hmm. And she's not getting any heat. I want to take you back to SNL and watch the monitors, listen, you know, if you're in the, listening in, on radio, but if you happen to be watching, watch the screen. This is SNL in 2011 with a character. If she doesn't look, sound, and speak almost like it's an Ocasio-Cortez character, I don't know what it is. Watch.
Here with her opinions is the girl you wish hadn't started a conversation with at a party.
Hey, Seth. Welcome back.
All right, well, thank you. So are you excited about the holidays?
Excited? I'm repulsed, Seth. All this commercialism around Christmas, it's an outrage. It's a tragedy. It's like, what are we even doing? And like, why? And like, don't.
No, you really seem like you're in the Christmas spirit.
You mean the Christmas spirit? Oh, right. You don't care about Jesus because you worship Hallmark.
Oh, boy.
You need to wake up and smell the music, Seth. There are homeless people out there who can't even pay their mortgages. Is that what George Washington had in mind when he started America? It's like, read something, Seth. Learn a book.
Learn it?
Fact. For every five people who are hungry, there are five people who are too full. It's like, switch stomachs. And fact. For every four men, there are two women. And that's just supposed to be acceptable? No. We need bipartisanships.
Bipartisanships? Like ships that are bipartisan?
Like ships that are bipartisan?
You need to grow up, Seth. Because there are some people in Africa right now where it's like, no. Also, I'm sorry. Why can't Secret Santa just be openly gay? Wait, hello, it's 2010. Hold on. This is not my phone.
Okay.
Stop. Can I do a minstrel show real quick?
No!
Okay, fine. You're reverse racist. That's even worse. Ingrid! I hate her. Stop. What'd you ask for Christmas?
I don't want to tell you.
Would you relax? I'm just asking what you want for Christmas.
Okay, well, I was hoping to get the new iPad.
I asked for an end to genocide.
Oh, come on.
That is
now,
AOC.
Tell me that if she were on the other side, if that character wouldn't be on every single week.
Oh, yeah.
That is
absolutely
Cortez. That's what they did to mm-hmm. Sarah Palin. Okay, obviously Cortez is not, well, okay, I can't say she's not that stupid, but I don't have verification.
Over the past decade, we've been privy to a golden age of marketing and advertising and publicity, and we've seen some pretty impressive campaigns that without them, the brands we know of today might not still be around. Apple dared us to be the crazy ones, followed it with Think Different, and Apple exploded. Tinder created their dating app and then sent their co-founder directly to college frats and sororities all over the country to kick it off. Which brings me to another bold marketing campaign. A guy who has decided to run for president of the United States, and his campaign slogan is, "Don't vote for me." Okay. He says the two-party system created a voting process which is an illusion and a government that fluctuates between two extremes, and each extreme annulling any process, progress made by the opposition in the prior administration. It's a government gone insane, and we're powerless to create any real change if we are continuing this system. He believes in small government, personal autonomy, and he thinks that Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies will one day be the major catalyst for shrinking the federal government. His name is John McAfee, and he decided to make his case for small government on the run from federal authorities. He is now joining us on a yacht somewhere in international waters where he is on the run from U.S. authorities. Welcome to the program, John McAfee.
Well, thank you very much, Glenn. And my first question is, are we under FCC rules?
Yes, we are. We're live on the air.
Okay, well, good. Because all the banned words I have alternatives for, and I try on every radio show to use all of them. They're far worse than the banned words. So.
Oh, boy. Now, why would you do this to me?
We don't want to be on the run from authorities.
No. You won't get fined. You won't get fined.
Uh-huh.
I don't think. I mean, for example, last night we were at the bar here.
I don't.
And everybody was gone, and I porked my wife on the pool table. So
okay, thank you very much. Yeah. Now, John, let's have a conversation. First of all, why are you on the run from the authorities?
Oh my God, it's a long story, Glenn. Right now, on the 22nd of January, the IRS convened a grand jury. Charging myself, my wife, Janice, and four of my campaign workers with unspecified crimes, but we were the subject of the grand jury. I found out about it way in advance and was verified by two of my lawyers who had received subpoenas. I'm not sure it was legal that they sent me information that they had been subpoenaed. One's a real estate attorney and another's a trust attorney. So on the 22nd, they did in fact convene a grand jury. I've heard nothing. Now, I did leave the country and declared that a grand jury would be convened on the 22nd. So maybe the prosecutor, got the indictment but is keeping it secret, or maybe they're still deliberating. Again, I do not know what the charges are other than they have to be felonies. We do not convene grand juries for misdemeanors.
Now, you claim you haven't paid income taxes, and I believe you, in 8 years.
That's correct, but that's not a crime, sir. If committing fraud, lying, for example, about income taxes, but if I didn't say anything, I could not lie. I just didn't file.
Right, but you've made money in the last 8 years.
Maybe not. I mean, I haven't added it up, Glenn.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Okay, well, you're on a yacht right now.
It's hard to say what a person's net worth is with all these complex arrangements.
Sure.
Ownership and loans and what have you.
Sure. You're also a big believer in cryptocurrency. So does your fight against the IRS, the way I understood it, was about cryptocurrency. And you said, that's beyond your jurisdiction. But A, is that true? And B, does that also then include, treasury notes and cash and digits in the regular non-virtual world?
Well, I think it was crypto that did, in fact, get me in trouble. I have not paid taxes in 8 years because I don't believe that income taxes are legal. They are unconstitutional. We had no income taxes prior to the Civil War. And suddenly in 1913, this monumental weight is dropped on our shoulders where we now have to work for the government for a period of time every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically slavery. And this is a libertarian, sort of an extreme libertarian view.
I was going to say, I'm a libertarian and I don't like income tax and I want it cut and I want it reversed. And I agree with you on 1913. Where did all of this come from? However, I still pay income tax.
So, and you're free to do so.
Right.
I mean, we're all adults in this world.
Sure.
But I'm out saying, income taxes are illegal. I'm paying them. Oh, good God. Why don't we walk the walk? For me.
Okay, so you are you are on the run, and what was striking to me is I watched your first video from the yacht, and you laid out your case and why you were leaving, and you said you were going to Venezuela, and you were the first to come to mind when I saw the riots in Venezuela and what's coming. You said you were going to run your presidential campaign, which we'll get to here in a second, from Venezuela.
Well, yes, I did say that. And I did say I was also off the coast of Nova Scotia for a while. I'm a computer security expert. The greatest talent a person can have is disinformation. I was leaving the United States. I had no idea whether the IRS was trying to stop me or what have you. And so I just laid a false trail. I am, in fact, and I've already told people, in Georgetown in the Exumas in the Bahamas. It's a town of 900 people. I've been here dozens of times before. I know everyone. And I have a Bahamian attorney who will, if the IRS tries to extradite me, we will hear my case. All U.S. extradition treaties exclude political crimes or crimes that might be politically motivated. Now, if this is not a politically motivated crime, I don't know what is. I've been doing keynote speeches all over the world saying that when privacy coins and distributed exchanges mesh together and people begin to use them, governments will no longer be able to collect income taxes unless everybody is honest and says, yeah, I made, you know, $300 million this year, which I do not believe. So, and I further say, and this is a good thing. And then I go on to say, there is nothing that governments can do about it. There is no physical, mathematical, legal way to stop this from happening. It's a new technology. So I promote this really. I think it is good. I don't believe in income taxes, so of course this is good. Well, the IRS does believe in income taxes, and I am the tallest tree in the forest yelling, so they figure if they cut me down, it'll send a wave of fear throughout the rest of the cryptoverse. In any case, my Bahamian attorney says, no problem.
Okay, well, I mean, your Bahamian attorney, I'm not necessarily buying into, because you said you were into disinformation, and the story you tell us about being in the Bahamas is exactly what someone would say, trying to disinform that you were off the coast of Venezuela. So, you know,
the story does hang together, does it not?
Yeah, it does. It does. It does. John McAfee's slogan as he's running for president is "Don't vote for me." So, is this a serious run for president?
Well, that's a difficult question. I ran in 2016. Under the Libertarian banner. I don't think any candidate was serious. Do you actually believe, sir, that any Libertarian had a chance of winning in 2016 or would have a chance of winning in 2020?
I actually do, but not the way the system is working now and the candidates that they necessarily run.
But even if they ran, Jesus himself, the two-party system, which controls everything, just won't allow it.
Well, I have to tell you that if it was Jesus, he actually controls everything. So I think he'd be able to short circuit. But other than Jesus, you may be right.
Well, maybe. Well, he reports to God. But anyway,
right. Okay.
So we would have these debates. And people would say, Mr. McAfee, what will you do on your first day in office? And on the last debate, I finally said, I had enough. I said, listen, I'm not going to have a first day in office. None of us are going to have a first day in office. Do you see how silly we look to the world? That we're actually believing we might get elected to presidency. It's not going to happen. Let's do something else, please. When you can run, we can change people's minds. In all truth, I think that the campaigning for presidency changes America far more than selecting a president. Because when you select a president, that person becomes bound, tied, and beholden to the establishment which created his position. So I don't want to be president. I want the stage.
And so John, I actually think a lot of Americans agree with that. And I think that that is the people are changing and starting to turn against the system itself, which I think in itself is healthy. It's what George Washington begged Americans to do in his farewell address. Stay away from the two-party system.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think we are on the verge of profound change in everything, in governments, in borders, in money, finance, technology, communication. Everything is going to change by 2030.
Well, I agree. Do you know any millennials, for example? One of my campaign workers is a millennial, and she convinced me to use an avatar for my picture. Well, I wasn't happy, so I had half real, half avatar. I probably got 2,000 people going, he's got an avi, I'm going to vote for him. I'm serious. It's like, it's spooky. But here's the problem. I am a computer security expert. At least that's what they tell me. I mean, if you Google cybersecurity legend, I'm the only person who shows up in the top 100 results. So I must know something. What I do know is we don't know the truth. I mean, people ask, what would you do to fix this problem, fix that problem? Do we know what that problem is? No, sir. I mean, we are given a baby food by our government laced with some sort of strange hallucinogenic, which makes us believe everything we're told. But it's not true.
Okay, hold on. I just talking to you, I don't know if you mean things literally or not. I don't know if you meant that literally or not.
No, I did not. No, sir. I did not mean that literally.
Okay.
I'm not that crazy.
So okay. I just wanted to know. I mean, well, let me ask you this question. You made a statement, I think, about a year ago about having your way with a whale. Was that just a shock thing, or is that real?
Please, God, would you consider how on earth with a person? I mean, and the whale I described was a humpback, you know, 70,000 pounds, 50 feet long. How would you actually accomplish that, and why?
Okay, no, I don't. Well, I don't know. I don't know with you. I don't know. Okay, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that.
God almighty, sir, if I was going to have sex with an animal, I think the whale would be the last I would choose. And I have no interest in any animal.
Okay, good. Well, it's good to hear. I'm just glad we could clear that up. I see how you make points, but not everybody necessarily.
I'm sorry.
Not everybody necessarily thinks that you're just making a point.
Well, here's the point. The point I'm making is, how gullible are we people? I thought, well, how many people will believe that I'm out there porking a whale? Let's try it. Over half of them. I'm serious. It's like, that's also very spooky.
Okay, so John, we're talking to John McAfee. Can we talk a little bit about cybersecurity here and the real problem? I fear that voices are going to be snuffed out. They already are. But a basic digital ghettoization to where you can talk all you want, but you're behind a wall created by Google, Facebook, Yahoo, you know, or any of these players. And I also see this merging of mainstream media along with government and these big corporations.
Yes. That's scary, is it not? It's scary. And you're seeing things like, you know, by the way, Alex Jones is a very good friend of mine. I don't believe a single thing that he says or believes. However, he's a party animal and he likes guns. And every time I'm with him, I have fun. So they simultaneously, on the same day, shut him down on Facebook, YouTube, and whatever else he was on. That had to be a coordinated act from somebody. Sure, it wasn't it?
Well, I'm not sure I stood against him being banned. I don't have any respect. I think he's a really a crazy guy.
So am I. And maybe you are at home. I don't know. We don't
know
each other.
Right. But he should not have been. He should not have been deplatformed like that. You cannot. You can't silence speech in America. With that being said, I'm not sure it was coordinated as much as it is groupthink. Somebody has the balls to do it, and they all kind of just groupthink. Yeah, we got to do that too.
Oh yeah, YouTube does it good. We'll take our chance, do it too. I don't know, but no, that's scary. That's very scary because no matter how crazy someone is, who is the judge of that insanity? I mean, as someone who is self-knowledgeable to the point that they accept all of the bad things about themselves, speak openly about them, have no lies, they are completely honest with everybody, they sound crazy if you think about it. I mean, at a dinner party, people are all protected and dressed up and have a facade, and there's someone wandering around talking about things that you would never dream of talking about in public. Now, is that person crazy or just self-aware? We don't have the right to judge.
John, it's fascinating to talk to you. I'm glad to hear about the whale thing and excited to see where you go next. We're out of time, but I would like to talk to you again. Thank you so much, and best of luck. Don't vote for him.
Thank you.
Is the slogan. His name is John McAfee. You can find him at McAfee, McAfee, 2020HQ.com.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks. Welcome to the program, Bill O'Reilly. And Bill, I want to start with this audio from the governor of Virginia yesterday on WTOP radio. Listen.
When we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions. We want the decision to be made by the mothers and their providers. And this is why, Julie, that legislators, most of whom are men, by the way, shouldn't be telling a woman what she should and shouldn't be doing with her body.
Okay, so after a child is born, the cord is cut immediately, and it's no longer her body. But you'll notice he said the child would be kept comfortable while a discussion ensued on what to do. Bill O'Reilly.
Okay. When we spoke last October, when my book came out, you asked me, why did you write Killing SS? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember what my answer was?
Yeah, because we're seeing it happen again.
I wrote it because I wanted people to understand evil, Americans particularly. All right, fast forward to this moron in Virginia who is unbelievably stupid. I have never heard a politician as ignorant as this man is. So he basically is saying, after a woman gives birth, if the woman and the doctors don't like what has come out of the womb, they can kill it, murder it. They'll discuss it, the pros and cons of, maybe the deformant, might not go over too well in school. Okay. So you're looking at yourself going, this is a lie because ultrasound now shows the baby in totality.
Yep. So
there isn't any surprise when the baby is birthed.
Correct.
So the governor of Virginia just told a lie to everybody. It's lied. All right. So what is the governor of Virginia basically saying? He's saying exactly what Joseph Mengele, the angel of death in Auschwitz, said. There's no difference. Saying, you know, if we really, the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, if we don't really want to get involved, whether a mother and a doctor don't believe the baby deserves to live, we're gonna let that baby lie on a hospital bed, and we're gonna let the doctor drill a hole in its head because we think maybe the deformity or maybe the whatever it may be that we knew about, we already knew about that, well, we decided we're not going to do that. So barbaric doesn't even come close. This is murder. You cannot justify it in any Judeo-Christian nation. And it is happening right before our eyes.
Bill, is there any doubt if America doesn't wake up with the technology that we have, that we will bring darkness that will make the Nazis look like good guys in the end?
Well, I don't know about that.
Really?
But
if we don't wake up,
the darkness is already here.
Right.
It's already here. It's not coming. It's already here. Let me give you another example.
But if we don't wake up and shake out of it now, what depths, if this is what we're doing when we're supposedly semi-conscious, what will happen when there is no fight against it anymore?
Well, Americans, if you look at the television ratings, which you have the last 3 or 4 days on the almost minute-by-minute basis, when the abortion discussion comes on, the ratings go down big time. And that tells me that Americans are looking away. They don't want to hear this. They don't want to be involved with it. It doesn't pertain to me. I'm not going to do it. Well, I don't really care if they do it in Virginia or New York, because I live in Ohio or I live in Minnesota. So I'm not going to sit there and listen to this. It's just too disturbing, too depressing. I'm going to pick up my machine and text or play a game or do what I do. That's what's happening, Beck. So in New York, the Roman Catholic governor of the state signs a law that says you can now do what the governor of Virginia wants to do in New York, and we will not prosecute you, no matter what you do. So you remember this guy, Gosnell, there's a movie about him in Pennsylvania. An abortion doctor was basically birthing the babies and killing them. That's how he was doing it, because he was so incompetent, he couldn't do it in the womb, so he just birthed them and killed them. He went to prison. But Cuomo, knowing that, said, you know, we're not going to do that, because anything to do with abortion, even after it's birthed, is no longer a criminal statute. No longer comes under the criminal justice system in the state of New York. It's a civil thing. That's in the law.
So, Bill, you know that the T4 project from the Nazis, where they were gassing the handicapped, the babies, anything that was costing the state money, that was happening mainly in secret. Because the people of Germany, at first, they said it was, I think it was baby Nock, was it? What was the name of the baby, Stu, do you remember? The first baby that was killed, baby Nauer, was killed compassionately because because Hitler said, well, I've had my doctors look at this child and the parents are just going to go through something horrific, and nobody should have the kind of life that this child would have, nor should the parents have this kind of life. So we're going to compassionately put it down. That opened the door to start doctors to start killing deformed children, et cetera, et cetera. But there came a point, and it was early on, that the German people did not look away. And they stood up and they said, this has got to stop. It was too late to really stop it. But it went on. Even Hitler came out and said, "You're right. You're right. We don't do that. Keep doing that, guys." And they did it in secret. We're not even stepping up to the plate. I mean, the German people at least said stop.
There's a political party, the Democrats, that think this is great.
Well, there were the Nazis that thought it was great. The Nazis thought it was great.
Let's extend it away from the Nazis into China.
Okay.
Where they have a one baby policy. And if you have more than one baby, a state can come in and abort it. And if you secretly give birth to it, they can take the baby.
Oh, they do, and they kill it.
Okay. So right now on the planet, 1.5 billion people are subjected to a law that the state says, you have one baby. That's it. You have any more? We're going to get rid of it. Now, we're not going to do that in America, but what we have done here is we have desensitized the 325 million Americans that are living under the Constitution, desensitized them so much that the governor of Virginia can sit there in Richmond and say that, and there's not 50,000 people today out there condemning him in a demonstration. So you can get 10,000 women marchers to accuse Trump of everything under the sun, but you can't get anybody in front of the capitals in Albany and Richmond to say, you know what, we don't really think murder is a good idea of babies. That's not really what our values are here. You can't get that. And that's a sad, sad situation that we're in here in the United States right now. The darkness is here.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.